This is Carrie Kiefaber. I'm a veterinarian that works for Elanco.
Carrie, let's talk a little bit about this veterinary feed directive. We've been dealing with this for the last several years. It really a decision by the industry to try to work with the regulators in coming up with a solution to this whole issue.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it there, Ron, that I think the goal is how do we demonstrate that we're using antibiotics responsibly? And finding a path forward, there is a new regulations going forward. They were finalized in December 2013, and that meant that within 3 years, these labels for antibiotics in the feed and water will be transitioned that way.
Now, some critics of the whole process say, well, that's just a voluntary, but looks like really the entire industry is bought in.
Oh, that's great. And it is a voluntary process, but that appeared to be the most efficient, effective way to make this transition happen. FDA could have taken every antibiotic, every label, every company to court and work it out, but a process to move more efficiently was to make it voluntarily. And it is voluntary that sponsors or the people that produce these products change their labels. Now, all 26 companies have agreed that they are going to change their labels, and it will be accomplished by December 2016.
Of course, once that label is in place, it's the effect of being an official rule, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, and it is voluntary to transition the label, but once that label is changed, it's not voluntary to comply. That's the law. That's the legality. And if a veterinarian needs to follow that process, and also a producer and feed mill needs to follow that process, or he or she's breaking the law.
Give us a little bit of insight of what a company like Elanco's had to do to jump through the hoops to make this happen.
Yeah, and part of my background, I spent several years with a team that took products from an idea to registration. And that's a complex where the bar is very hard and high to get products approved, which needs to be. So as we work in this, we go back and look at our products that are medically important and change the labels. So going forward, any share class antibiotics that's medically important for humans will be only available for therapy under the oversight of a veterinarian. So that means that if any of these products that are out there that are shared class or medically important and has a production label, which is for growth rate feed efficiency, that has to come off. Right. And we'll need to add to those that they will need a veterinarian oversight, which would be a veterinary feed directive if it's in the feed, or a prescription if it's in the water.
When you're working with a lot of folks in our nation's capital and kind of rubbing shoulders with folks that both agree with what's going on right now but also are still very critical of any antibiotic use in animal agriculture. How do we balance what needs to be done from human health perspective with what we need in animal agriculture?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we can get in lots of debate of the significance of antibiotics used in animals on the impact of human resistance, and we get mired down in that discussion. But I think we need to look for solutions, and if there is a potential, we have to show that we're using them responsibly. So how do we use them responsibly? You know, we're only using them for therapy if they're medically important to the veterinary oversight. The veterinarian is the best person to help make the decision to protect animal welfare, food safety, and sustainability. But I think as we look and have this discussion, if we can find a path forward it is a solution, and we see this 209-213 as a solution to main access to these tools. I know veterinarians and producers and cattlemen all want to be able to have these tools because it's important for animal welfare. To deny or delay treatment is inappropriate.
Right. There are antibiotics that are not actually utilized within human health care, right? I mean, and I know that Elanco's got some of those within your portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are classes of antibiotics, and these are certain classes that are not used in human medicine, and that's because of the different species using them in animals or different diseases. An example are ionophores. Mm-hmm. Ionophores, they're not used in human medicine. They don't impact resistance. So using them in animal medicine, either for therapy or performance, is not impacting or potentially impacting resistance impacting humans. And therefore, which is a good point, there will be animal-only classes of antibiotics those non-medically important for humans that will be available still over-the-counter and for production reasons.
And I guess what we need, I know a lot of times critics of animal agriculture will try to mix and match and throw out big numbers about the amount of antibiotics being used, but a lot of times they are including both of those human related products as well as the products that have no use within the human healthcare.
Yes, and FDA cautions to look at those annual reporting with care, because if you look at potency, if you look at dose, all can look at it differently. But a key point is it's different classes of antibiotics used in animals than is used in humans. Over 40% are those that are only used in animals and therefore do not contribute to the concern of resistance.
Longer term, where is this debate going to go? It doesn't seem like it's slowing down, even though we've addressed these products that are directly crossing over between animal agriculture and human health.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the future really relies about one, like we talked about, demonstrating responsible use of all products, let alone just antibiotics. The second is new innovation. Let's find some new tools that lessen the need for use of antibiotics, and that's true antibiotic stewardship. That we're finding ways and initiating health plans, other tools that don't require antibiotics to help gain the overall value that we can protect the health of animal but not use these shared class antibiotics. The other part of this, I think we're all part of making sure we do this right, that we demonstrate that we can be good stewards of antibiotics and we help tell the message. I think we all can do a part to really explain what is contemporary agriculture and explain that to a broader audience that help make those decisions.
What, in the case of Elanco, what's the kind of the marching orders or the desire of the company in this whole arena of products that can protect animal agriculture and animal health?
Mm-hmm. Well, part of it, in 2013, we came out with our new antibiotic policy. Then in June of this year, we declared our 8-point stewardship plan. Part of that, first six had to do with responsible use and globally transition our labels to align to more veterinary oversight and using shared class for therapy. The other two buckets are identifying and moving forward animal-only antibiotics. In the last 2 years, we've had two new animal-only antibiotics approved for swine. We have other innovation in the pipeline globally that help reduce. So the other commitment we made was to look and identify up to 10 new molecules in innovation. We're a company dedicated. Our future relies on new innovation, and hopefully can bring those new products to market as soon as possible.
So in Elanco's case anyway, your pipeline is robust.
Yes. that's our commitment and where we're headed, and that's where we put a considerably time, investment in people and dollars to hopefully move that along. Because if our goal is to provide value to the customer, and the customer can be the producer or the consumer, how do we do that? And that's having the right tools that are safe and effective, and also part of that, explain that to a broader audience so they have more comfort and confidence with contemporary agriculture.